welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornellians. I am your guest host for today's episode, Corey Ryan Earle, class of 2007. But today, our listeners are in for a treat because we have a special guest, Doug Mitarotonda, class of 2002, joining us. Not only is Doug an all-around phenomenal guy, but last year he was elected to Cornell's Board of Trustees as an alumni elected trustee. Doug, welcome to Fresh from the Hill.
Thanks, Corey. It's great to be here.
Now, Doug, before we get into your Cornell career, can you tell us a little bit about what your actual job is?
Sure. Well, my career has taken some paths, twists and turns and interesting progression. And today I work for a relatively small startup. I was the fourth person to join the team. So there are two co-founders and I was the second hire. And I currently serve as the VP of analytics. And so what that means is I spend a lot of time thinking about data and I work with our customers specifically with the sales team and the customer success teams. And so I have a lot of time thinking about programming and coding and data and databases, but also working with customers and talking to them about their challenges and helping them overcome what they're thinking about. It's pretty cool being a part of a startup, which is something that I don't think as a Cornellian, as an undergrad, I'd really thought a ton about. But certainly living in the Bay Area now and being in Silicon Valley and, you know, being a part of the startup culture and the scene here has been really interesting and exciting because, you know, you can join a company as the fourth person and now we're over 40 and you get to build and it's fun to build things. And I think that's just one of the things I've always liked to do is just build, and you get to build a team, you get to build a company, you get to build a culture. And a product that is really resonates with people. And that all of that's like super exciting to me. And I've just always enjoyed that. But that was a long answer to your question of what I'm doing today, but it's just fun stuff and I really enjoy it. So I'd like to talk about it.
Sounds like a great opportunity to put your Cornell education to work. Do you find yourself using what you learned at Cornell in your job?
Oh, every day. I mean, it's incredible because I think of my career in general as, like I said, a progression actually, where it's like every job I've ever had built on the one before it and the experience before it. And the foundation of that, it really comes back to, my education, and it came through Cornell. And you listed my 2002, but that actually wasn't my only degree. I was an undergrad from 98 to 2002, College of Arts and Sciences, and got a great degree there where I got to learn lots of different types of areas of study. And I really appreciated the fact that as an undergrad, I had a distribution requirement in computer science. And I was like, I've never programmed before. And to date myself, I mean, I had never really used a computer that much, frankly, because it was 1998. 1999 was when I took my first computer science class. I just loved it because, again, it's building in software, but you're building something. And I just absolutely fell in love with it and decided to add that as a major. And I entered as a math major and added computer science. And then I studied abroad and had a distribution requirement for a language. So I studied abroad using that language, which is in Nepal, which again, I was really thankful for that opportunity to have a distribution requirement that forced me to take, a language that I never thought I'd ever learn. And studying abroad in Asia was, South Asia was amazing. And so many experiences there that just continued to build my career, because then I went to do a master's in engineering in computer science. And then a PhD in economics, where the reason I did economics is that I wanted to find a field that was that intersection of my experiences in Nepal with my engineering experiences previously in the programming. And that led to my career. I got involved in energy and then did some interesting work for my first job out of graduate school, out of my PhD program at Cornell. And it's all just kind of progressed from there, where everything's really built on this experience before it, where I really couldn't do the job that I'm doing today if I hadn't had all these great experiences previously to help inform what I'm working on now.
And that PhD in economics, that came with another master's degree, right? So that's a total of four Cornell degrees, Doug?
Technically, yes. I do have four Cornell diplomas. It's pretty funny to have that. My wife, who is a Cornellian, also as a PhD student, she has two diplomas as well. So in our family, we have six Cornell diplomas.
Well, it's never too late to add another one. So maybe in the future we can get that fifth degree.
I would love that. That would be a fantastic thing to do.
So let's go back to the start. How did you end up at Cornell in the first place?
It's a funny story. I hadn't really been thinking much about Cornell in any meaningful way until one of my best friends in high school. She had family who had, Cornell history, and she really wanted to go there. And she told me about it. And I was like, wow, this just sounds like a really interesting place. And just to give you some context, I have two older brothers and they both went to Penn State. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania originally. They both went to Penn State and I kind of assumed I'd probably end up at Penn State for a long time, just because I really liked visiting them. It's a great school. But you know, I really came to love Cornell and it just went and visited. And I was a runner cross country in high school. And I was interested in running at Cornell. I ended up running on the varsity cross country and track teams when I was an undergraduate. And I met the coach and I just like, my man, the first day I visited there, I remember, cause this is again dating me, but they actually had paper course books and I just picked it up and I was like, oh my goodness, this thing is like 3 inches thick. I can study anything here. And as a high school student, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know I was going to be in the job I'm in today or what I'd be doing in computer science or any of these experiences studying abroad. I had no idea these things were going to happen, but that's the motivation to Cornell was like fulfilled, right? Because at that time when I was in high school, I said, this course book is so thick. And I know that I'm going to have experiences that I really can't get anywhere else. And a lot of the other places other than Penn State I were looking at were relatively small. And so, you think about those course books in relation, but someone for me who was so inquisitive and not sure what I wanted to have happen, I was stunned by it. And like I said, that was fulfilled where it was like, yeah, I mean, I had these requirements and as I said before, like I had these experiences that I don't think I would have had other places and I'm so grateful for them. And that's why Cornell ended up being the right choice for me. But it just was an easy decision. As soon as I saw the campus, met the people, I ended up applying early decision and was accepted in December of my senior year and was just so fired up to get to campus and get started.
Well, with 4 Cornell degrees, it sounds like you made the most of the course book, perhaps more than the average Cornellian. You mentioned running track and cross country as a student. As I recall, you were involved in a lot of different student activities and leadership roles on campus. Tell us a little bit more about what you got involved with as a student.
Yeah, it was interesting too, because in a lot of ways, that was a progression for me in my Cornell experience, where as an undergraduate, especially for track and cross country, unlike most other sports at Cornell, which obviously all of student athletes are exercising, they're training for their competitive season. But for track and cross country, you're actually competing in all 3 of the academic year seasons. You know, you're at fall for cross country, then you transition directly into indoor track in December, and then into the early months of the new year. And then you have outdoor track. And so you're in competition all the year round. And then I mentioned I ended up having 3 different majors in the College of Arts and Sciences. So I had a busy academic schedule. And I would say those were the 2 main things that I was involved in as a student. I had other things like I loved, enjoyed doing like Cornell Tradition. I had a great affinity to that group. Lots of fun experiences in those sorts of ways. And getting involved with my different groups inside of the college and the discipline and the study abroad program, obviously, and meeting people through all of those things. But I didn't really do a ton of, say, student governance types of volunteer experiences or engagement. And that actually didn't happen until I became a graduate student. And it was when I got more involved in the energy concepts as I got later in my career that I was like, I could help influence how Cornell thinks about energy policy. And so that's the sort of thing as my academic transition into energy and energy economics happened is when I started getting more interested in, what's Cornell doing about this? At the time we had a coal power plant that we were running. And it was like, well, why? What are we doing about this? And that's how I got more involved in like student governance. And that's when I got involved with like the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly, advocating for different groups through some of the energy groups on campus that were focused on sustainability and renewable energy. And that really transitioned and eventually ended up to me going up and running for student elected trustee at one point. And I ended up winning actually the second time I ran, because I didn't win the first time I ran. So I ran twice, and the second time I ran, I was actually elected to the Board of Trustees as a graduate professional student representative on the board. It really was an interesting kind of progression for me of, sports and academic focused, and then how the energy policy work, it's what I did for my academic work. So it was still related to academics, but now was influencing policy essentially. And that's a lot of what I've been doing through my career is how do you influence policy? I ended up working for the state of New York to write the auction rules that are used for a carbon dioxide trading program, the first in the United States, and it's still running 10 years later. And I'm super proud of the work I did there because it's still on the books. It's still in, you know, New York State's laws, and actually 9 other states that I worked with at the time used similar rules that I had worked on. And so it was really interesting to move to how to influence policy and get involved in that way, which I hadn't really been doing as an undergraduate. But I just thought it was a really fun experience, again, how like the experiences that you have can morph and progress. And I don't know that I would have been doing the same things that I would have been doing if I hadn't had the ones before it. So I just think that that was really fun and interesting for me.
Yeah, it sounds like you really found a way to leave a legacy on campus and then, you know, later on in your career. And joining the Board of Trustees was really just the beginning of that Cornell engagement. You became class president, you joined the Cornell Association of Class Officers, the Cornell Alumni Association of Northern California, the Cornell Alumni Advisory Board, the Cornell University Council. What motivated you to stay involved in so many ways with Cornell after graduation?
Yeah, it's just one of those things where I just have such indebtedness, honestly, to the university. Like, as someone who came from a middle-class family who is really grateful to go to such a wonderful university, having lots of financial support and financial aid to get there, having 2 older brothers in college and all those sorts of things. I was raised by a single mother who did everything for us to have a good education. And I'm indebted to her for my life and grateful for the sacrifices that she's made for me, working multiple jobs to help me get to Cornell. I just have always felt like anything I can do to give back, like I will always be in debt. And to me, that's just, I'm grateful for everything that I've had and the people that I've met and the experiences I've had. And it's just at every turn that I can help a student or the university or just engage and, you know, personal satisfaction of seeing the friends that I've made there and having the opportunity to schedule events and be in charge of planning a reunion to make sure I see my friends again every 5 years on campus. I mean, all of those things combine to the why. It's just because I love the university. I love the experiences I've had. And I'm just so grateful for everything that's been provided to me and the opportunities I've been given, because it's not everyone getting those. And I want to make sure I want to make the most of them. And so when I got there, I was like, well, I've got to take as many courses as I can and just making the most of the situation. And so it's just, it's one of those things, again, it's a bit of a progression through time where, you know, I got involved in my 5-year reunion, and I hadn't been really involved in my class before that, but, you know, a friend invited me to join in, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, I love this kind of stuff. And I get to, you know, motivation to meet new people, and get to see friends every few years. And so that's just kind of the, you know, early stages of all of those things kind of progressed. And then I moved to the Bay Area and I didn't really know many people. And the only people I did know were actually Cornellians, which is, again, is like the roots of that foundation of, you know, where I, you know, my family has been living for 10 years, over 10 years now, you know, it's based in Cornell. And so that's why I got involved in Cornell NorCal. And it's just all of that kind of builds upon itself. And, you know, Cornell has been a foundation since I first entered there in 1998. It's just been a cornerstone of my life. And, you know, I got married to an alum as well. And we got married while we were both graduate students, and we got married on campus, which was really special, a way to memorialize a lot of our experiences there.
Yeah, as far as I know, you're one of the few weddings that was held in Duffield Hall. I don't think that's as common of a choice for married Cornell couples, but it was a lovely wedding.
Yeah, but to be fair, it wasn't supposed to be in Duffield Hall. It was supposed to be in the Plantations, but in classic Ithaca form, in a July where it was beautiful and sunny, the skies just darkened. And so we had to move it to where the reception was scheduled in Duffield. And so everyone pitched in, moved chairs around, and we made it the best experience possible and have some great pictures of the, you know, sky being purple in the evening and great memories all around of being able to do that. But yeah, it was a fun experience. Not as we planned, but not many things in life always go as planned. That's for sure.
Just a little bit of that extra Ithaca Cornell flavor for the wedding to make it extra special.
Exactly.
I think, you know, a lot of people have come to realize how special the Cornell alumni community is, and that sense of giving back and gratitude is so important for alumni volunteers. And it's wonderful that you came upon that realization pretty early in your alumni career. Some alumni reached that a few decades out, some, you know, rather short, you know, quickly after graduating. And so you've been able to make the most of being an alum of Cornell in a pretty short period of time. Is there something that you worked on as an alum in many of these volunteer roles that you're particularly proud of, some project or some, you know, legacy that you feel you've left as an alumni volunteer and leader?
Yeah, that's a great question, Corey. I know I reflect back on some of the stuff that I've worked on. And I think the thing that I think of the most that comes to mind would be non-reunion reunion. It's an event that as a class of 2002, when I came in as co-president, we asked ourselves as our, you know, board, like, what do we want to do to engage our fellow alumni? And we came up with this idea that we would create this event that would happen the same weekend as reunion every for the 4 years in between the 5 years we're in Ithaca, just have like parties essentially around the world. And it started out really small. It was just like two cities, three cities, four cities, with just the class of 2002. And then over time, it's now grown to like, we've included like a decade and a half of classes who all pitch in and all volunteer to bring it together. And it's happening, you know, it's happened in like 10 cities. I think at 1.1 year, we had almost a 10 cities at the same time across the world. And that's just really fun to me. I mean, because I think at the end of the day, you know, it's the connections and the people and these experiences that, you know, really give me that warm feeling of just, you know, putting on my Cornell hoodie or putting on the, you know, some nice red clothing and going out and just relating to people who've had an experience and, you know, you don't even have to know them before, but you can just get to meet them and have that shared experience. And I think that's just really fun. And it's something that didn't exist. And we talked about building and something, you know, we built something new and it's fun to see it grow and evolve. And it's hopefully going to outlive me you know, our class's contributions of it, and just becomes a thing that we do. And that's just fun to have that as something, again, like being someone who likes to build things. It's just been a fun personal experience, and the outcomes are parties, and you get to build something that hopefully lives on for generations.
I can attest to the fact that non-reunion reunion has become a thing. I know alumni who wait, you know, in June, they anticipate the non-reunion reunion festivities, and it's something they look forward to. So I think you've created a new tradition with that, which is great. When we introduced you, we mentioned that you are an alumni elected trustee of the Board of Trustees of Cornell University, and you're one of only two people in the history of the university to have served on the board as a student elected trustee and then served again as an alumni elected trustee, which is a pretty unique role. The other individual being Bob Harrison, who's the current chairman of the Board of Trustees. But can you tell us a little bit about how you ended up on the board? A lot of alumni ask, how can they become a trustee? So I'm curious what your story is, what your journey to the board was.
Yeah, it's definitely a non-traditional path, I would say, by being a student elected trustee first, and then getting elected again, but from a different constituency as an alum. You know, I think my path to it was just because it's involvement and it's just engagement. And I think one of the things that is common of all the trustees is that they're engaged with the university in some way. And certainly the alumni elected trustees are going to be the ones who are coming through paths that are typically involved in different volunteer opportunities. It doesn't have to be like for me, it's been a lot of things like regional affiliations and affinities and class affinities, but a lot of people are involved with colleges and other ways of how to engage with the university. And so there's lots of ways to get involved, to show that you're interested in what the university is doing and where it wants to go and how to help to build the future of the university. But I think my journey was based on my experiences when I was a graduate student and getting more involved in the student governance, and again, being a student elected trustee was, you know, gave me a good understanding of what the experience would be like potentially as an alumni elected trustee. But there were no like plans, right? It was just, I wanted to get involved and stay involved. And then I was really thankful to receive a phone call that says, you know, would you be willing to run? And I said, of course. I mean, this would be amazing. I loved my first experience. I was able to really have a wonderful time then and make some impactful changes as a student elected trustee. It would be a real honor to be able to represent now the alumni in the, as alumni elected trustee. So I certainly jumped at that opportunity and very grateful for being one of the two candidates who was elected last year.
Having joined the board just this past July as the alumni elected trustee, do you have anything that stands out from your experience or anything that's changed from when you served on the board as a student? Anything that has particularly struck you from your experience so far?
Well, I'll tell you what hasn't changed, which is being around really thoughtful and smart, talented people who really want the best for the university. And I think that hasn't changed at all. And I don't think that'll ever change because I think our alumni and our trustees are just really wonderful people who really, really are thoughtful about where the university should go. So I don't think that has changed at all. I think what has changed is the type of you know, issues. If I had to look back, when we were back in 2005, 2007, you know, what was interesting then was we had a new president that I was able to be on the search committee to find for President Scorton at the time. And I'm so glad that we found him and his contribution. So that was one of the main challenges or one of the main focuses back then. But today, you know, we're thinking about all of the challenges since I joined the board. You know, I was elected in February and the election results are in March. You know, that's right when COVID hit and really started. And then we have Black Lives Matter protests and the whole racial and social justice movements really coming to a forefront. And I think what I'm really impressed with and I'm really proud of from the Board of Trustees perspective is the way that I think the university staff and the board has really collaborated with faculty and students, public health experts, government officials, and really try to be so collaborative and thoughtful about their approach. And you know, how could we reopen a university in the midst of all of this and try to do it in the safest way possible, knowing that there are risks, knowing that this could go poorly, but knowing that we're planning for it to go well because we're doing all the right things. We're using science, we're using research to think about how can we do testing. That doesn't happen from one person or one group of people. That comes from buy-in from all the constituencies. And as much as the Board of Trustees or university staff can say, this is what we want to have happen, none of that is executed successfully without the students and the faculty and the staff who are there day to day actually believing in this and being a part of it. And I just think that to me is just incredibly impressive from a COVID perspective. And then, you know, when we talk about, you know, race and equity and the conversations that we've been having from a board perspective of, you know, what does this mean and how do we make decisions and how does policing work on campus? What changes there should we be thinking about and which needs to be made? Again, I don't think that that's done in a vacuum from a board's perspective. It's done from talking to the students and getting feedback. And I think that to me is what I really appreciate about the board and the perspective that the board takes is really to get buy-in from people and not to be, you know, issuing edicts to staff to execute or anything like that. It's really getting people to buy in as much as possible and to have a process in place that, you know, we can make decisions. It's not always, you know, the same decision that everyone's always going to come to necessarily, but at least we can have informed, thoughtful feedback and make good decisions as we go along.
I think that's a great point. And people can sometimes have a misconception about the Board of Trustees that it's this group of shadowy figures that are kind of detached from campus, and the reminder that no, these are deeply engaged Cornellians, for the most part alumni, although not all alumni, but people who truly care about the issues facing the university and dive deeply into them to do what's best for the Cornell community. This podcast episode comes out, we are in the midst of another alumni elected trustee election. And so I wanted to ask you, why do you think it's important for alumni to pay attention to that? Why should alumni vote for alumni elected trustee?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. And I come back to it as like, how do we think about where the university goes in the future? Because, you know, in its core, the Board of Trustees is trying to take the long-term view, you know, working with the staff, obviously, to execute and the students and the faculty, as we talked about in certain ways. But it's, what do you think the vision of the university should look like? And where should it go for big challenges in terms of environmental policy? You know, that's something that I personally have an affinity towards and questions about. You know, racial policy, racial and social justice issues. You know, where should we go in terms of buildings and construction and how should we think about tuition and how should we be charging? What initiatives should we be focusing on? Where should the university go in terms of faculty, in terms of major initiatives that we want to go forward? Should we be opening new campuses in different parts of the world as we've created a New York City campus in the last decade? Those are the types of things that the board thinks about. And so by voting, you're helping decide what the university, your representation will look like to make those sorts of decisions. And I do also just want to highlight, I think that it's a really special privilege. Not all universities, and I don't think that everyone knows this, but not all universities, and I would say, and Corey, you probably know the number better than I do, but I think maybe two others have alumni elected members on the board. So it's very small, whatever it is, it's very small. And so it's not common to actually be able to elect members from your constituency as an alum into the board of trustees, or students, or faculty, or staff, which we have, all of those are constituents that have alumni elected, or elected trustees as well. And so that's unique to Cornell in a lot of ways, I think. And it's just, it's important to make you sure that you have your voice be heard in that way.
You're right, but Cornell very unique in having every constituency represented on the board, alumni, students, staff, faculty, elected trustees. And in some of those cases, we were the first university in the United States to give those constituencies a voice in university governance in that way. And so it's a unique thing, and it's something that alumni should be proud of and alumni should participate in. And any listeners to this, if you are alumni, you should have received an email with information about how to vote online, links to information about the four candidates. And you can also check today's podcast show notes for more information and make sure Cornell has your current email address on file so you're getting important announcements like that. Because if they don't have your email address, they can't let you know how to vote. And that's an important way to participate in the process of being an engaged alum for the university. So Doug, as we wrap things up here, you'd mentioned earlier that you had four Cornell degrees. We didn't mention earlier that there were only two individuals who have earned more Cornell degrees than you. There are two people with five Cornell degrees. So my final question is, when are you coming back to get that fifth and sixth degree?
I would like to say it is going to happen. I'd love to have it happen. My commitment to that has always been, I can't just get degrees for the sake of getting degrees. I need to have a purpose for them. So, in my retired ages, maybe I love baking as a hobby. And, I've always said to my wife, maybe one day when we're a little bit older and I'm retired, maybe I'll start a bakery. So maybe I'll come back and get like a food science degree and like an MBA. So I know how to open my own, run my own business in a really effective way from that angle. So maybe those are the two degrees I'll come back for.
Yeah, I always thought the dual JD MBA maybe could be a good thing for you. Or maybe if you really want to step outside the box, you could do the MD DVM.
Oh, there it is. That could happen too. That's a lot of education, I think. I don't know. Or we'll do all of them, Corey. I don't know. We'll
Perfect.
See.
Then you can really make the record tough for the next person to be.
That's right.
Well, Doug, thank you so much for your service to Cornell as a volunteer leader, as an alumni leader, as a member of the Board of Trustees. Cornell and the Cornell community is so fortunate to have someone like you engaged with the university and helping steer us for the future. And so thank you, Doug, for being on today's podcast, and thank you for all you do.
Well, it's kind of you to say. You're being really generous there, Corey, but it's great to talk to you as always.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of Fresh from the Hill. Music for Fresh from the Hill was created by the man, the myth, the legend, Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2013. You can contact Kia at koa3@cornell.edu. If you'd like to learn more about Cornell Young Alumni programs, visit our website, alumni.cornell.edu/youngalumni, or follow Cornell Young Alumni programs on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in.